This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. Come into our awareness, Lord Christ, for we hear of you. Help us see you. Come into our awareness, Holy Spirit, and kindle within us the fire of your love. Take our minds and think through them. Take our lips and speak through them. Take our hearts and souls and set them on fire with love for you. Amen. We have seen the Lord, the disciples tell Thomas. And then finally, the next week, when Thomas sees for himself, he says, "My Lord and my God." But they didn't get to this point right away. There were three phases. They started with fear. They started with fear. And then the next phase is that they showed up anyway. And then the last phase is that they were sent out by God and rejoiced. And the only way that I know how to illustrate these three phases is by stories that I've witnessed myself. Much like the disciples, we're all that way, right? We want to be able to see it, feel it, taste it, touch it, believe it. And then we get to a point where we know within our very being. Well, I'm wondering if, were any of you here for our Easter vigil last Sunday, for Easter Sunday at dawn? Did anybody come? Yeah, a few people? Well, we do this every single year. We have three big services, and our first service starts in the dark, outside in front of the church, and we have this big, big fire burning bowl, and it's just blazing. We put Epsom salts and alcohol in there. Don't try it at home. But it's like blazing and blazing. And from that, we light this candle over here, the big one, this Paschal candle that'll burn for the whole 50 days of Easter. And we are following then that light into still the dark church, and we kind of stumble around and find our way in. We take our seats, and then we begin to hear the story of God's love for us, starting with creation. And then going through all of the matriarchs and patriarchs and God calling to us and us turning away and God rescuing us and us turning away. And as each story is told, one little light comes on and then another light and then another light and then another light. And by the time we then get to the coming of Christ and the crucifixion and the resurrection and Mary seeing Christ, then all the lights come up and all of the music begins and we sing and we start to ring bells. And we're all told to bring bells from home, like this one. Now, this is an old bell. I got it up north. And I was so excited about it that I just started ringing. And I just did it through the whole time, because during this time, the altar guild and all the altar ministers are bringing out all of the cushions and they're lighting candles and putting the other cushions over and ringing out and singing for this light of Christ. So I'm ringing, and an odd thing happened. After that glorious day and all of our services, and we had an amazing time here as well, I went home, and about Wednesday, I noticed every time I was using a heavy pitcher or something that I had this blister on my finger. And I got it from ringing that bell, because there's this little ridge right here that I didn't notice in the brass. And I kept ringing so hard and for so long that I had this blister. And for me, then by Friday, it was still bothering me. It's still bothering me today, but it's become this great teacher for me, of these three phases. You know, we started out in the dark, in the fear, and then slowly but surely we show up anyway and stumble in that dark, and then we rejoice, and sometimes it's painful, And sometimes we get wounds in that rejoicing for standing up for what we know to be true, for what we know to be right. So let's look at these three phases now. We started in fear. And the disciples, too, had been wounded. They had been ridiculed and persecuted for their beliefs. And now they see Jesus crucified. And even though Mary had come back and told them that she had seen the risen Lord, they couldn't believe it. They couldn't believe it. And so they're all hunkered down in one of their houses, and they've got the doors locked because of fear of the Jewish authorities, who were in fear of the Roman Empire. So they're all scared of the emperor, and they're hiding out because they don't want to be crucified like Jesus was. And they're there in fear. And so I'm thinking in contemporary terms, the only thing that I could imagine, and I have not witnessed this myself, but it's like maybe when you, if you're on lockdown somewhere, you know? Maybe when people have this scare of a gunman loose or something, and a school gets on lockdown or an office building, and everybody has to stay inside and behind locked doors. Can you imagine that feeling? I don't know, have any of you ever had that experience? Yeah? So it's this, your heart, I'm sure, starts beating out of your chest, and that's how the disciples were that night. This is the night that he resurrected from the dead. Or so they were told. Or so they were told. And we, too, get locked behind locked doors metaphorically in our fears. And we keep them at bay on the other side. Maybe fear of something we've witnessed in our lives. Maybe some horrible thing that's happened to us. Or maybe it's the fear of our negative habits or tendencies. Maybe it's our fear of longing to be accepted or loved. Maybe it's our fear of anything we've ever done wrong that we don't quite know how to fix, or that still weighs heavy on us, and we long for peace. And in our longing for peace, we're then called by this story to the next phase. Showing up anyway. Showing up to life. And yet, the disciples were in fear. And yet, they all came together. They didn't just go about their separate ways and run away. They came together in that room, and they were praying and supporting each other. Kind of like all of you do every time you come here. We come for that comfort and that support and that longing for peace. We show up in the midst of our own fears and in the midst of our own challenges in our lives, even when we don't understand something that's happened. I witnessed a vivid example of this when we went down to the Dominican Republic, and Joanne Pariso gave me permission to tell her story. One of the projects that we had down there was working in the nursing home, and it's a nursing home for the very poor, the indigent, that would be dying on a street if they weren't there. And so we were fixing the roof, and we were working with the residents, and one afternoon I was making my rounds to be sure everybody was okay, and I walked by one room, and this is what I saw. She didn't know that I was taking this picture, and I got my phone out and I snapped it. And this is Ramon in the bed, and he was actively dying. He's probably already passed. And Joan Ann was there praying. She said she was crying a little bit too. In her own fears of anything, and I don't know what that might be, but in her own misunderstandings or in her own travail, in her own reaching out to Ramon, she was showing up. She was showing up, and Christ comes in. This is Christ. This is the gospel right here. And I was just moved, and I didn't want to interrupt, so thank goodness it wasn't a flash. Show up anyway, even in our fear. And finally, this third phase is of rejoicing in seeing the Christ. And I have another story. Someone else in our midst who gave me permission to tell, Sarah Trovinger, one of our ushers and greeters from today. She works with very young children who have severe cognitive and physical challenges. Every single day, day in and day out, she shows up. and she works with them in joy. In joy. And she's coming to our Tuesday night Bible study, and she said that her co-workers have asked her, how is it that you're always so joyful? How do you do that? And when I called her up to ask her permission if I could tell this story, I said, what exactly did you say that you said to him, to them? And so I wrote it down, and she said, I wake up each morning and I choose joy. And then I said, is that because of God in any way? And she said, definitely. I trust that God is always there, and since God is the source of my joy, where God is, joy is also. She's showing up, and she's spreading the joy. And I thank her for that. Jesus shows up in the midst of fear, behind any locked doors that we can construct. The risen Jesus walked through that locked door and was with them. The risen Jesus Christ appeared to Thomas and declared peace. He said it twice. Peace be with you. The wounds were still there, inside the hearts of all of them, and on Jesus' body. They were still there, but they were healing, and lives were being transformed. Now, if you're not feeling it so much, ask to be shown. You're here for some reason. Ask. Seek. Knock at that door. Even in your doubt, begin to believe. Begin. Join us in Bible study. Come with us in some of our outreaches where we are seeing the face of Christ in action. Gather in an upper room with people who support you in goodness and love and kindness and all things light. Richard Rohr, who I quote all the time, I know, said lately that he uses a phrase to remind himself of God in the moment. And it's helpful for me because I can get so caught up in fear of the past or fear of the future, as I'm sure many of you do too, if we're honest. And this phrase that he uses, that he said he's got taped to his dresser in his mirror, is just this, period. Just this. So when he starts to get fearful, comes back to that phrase, just this moment. And I've been using it, and I'm telling you, it brings peace. And Christ says, peace be with you. In closing, I'd like us to see a little short 1-minute clip that Micah made for us before he moved away with John Bichette.
Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am. Be still and know.
Amen.